Yes, sir.
Is that on one?
Yes, sir.
Do you hear this?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, Miss Fred. I was in the car on the way to a funeral when Fred got me about the Bobby Baker's statement down there today. Our interpretation of it is that it's the second time that he's mentioned you now, and it's a way of building up importance and certainty. The way the questions were framed, we think they were designed to invite cross-examination, but we don't feel any need to ask any questions about that. I don't think the public press reaction to not asking about it make any difference. Now, whether they will make further allusions or not, we can't predict. Do it a time or two. On any press inquiry, it seemed to me that the best thing is to say that, well, that's a matter of importance about which it would be inappropriate to comment. However, the jury is sequestered. Comment could be made, and I think it would probably be best not to. Really see that it has at least the press posture any relevance at all in the case. So that's the way it looks to us right now. We understand. Our judgment is that the judgment of the lawyers trying the case, that Baker would be on direct examination.
Would you take that?
Hello?
Hi, Mary.
Yes.
This is Marilyn.
Hi. How can I help you?
You can help me if you can tell me with whom the president had lunch yesterday.
Yeah, wait, let me check.
Okay, thanks.
Well, he came and asked for money. He came and asked for help. And I told him that this was an illusion, that I had all these millions, and that I had told him that he should leave in 60 when I left. And he had kept telling me that Mansfield had said that he had to stay on or he would leave. He just had to have him, and that he had gone to Senator Kerr, and Senator Kerr had told him that he ought to stay on. I had told him he ought to leave and go on and with all these obligations to practice law if he's ever going to practice as a youngster. And when he had these financial reverses, he came to me and asked me if I could help him financially. I told him we didn't have the money, but that if I were you, I'd go see Kerr. The one thing I don't remember, I'm checking my diary, is whether I telephoned Kerr. I don't think that I did, but I know I told him to go see him. And I don't recall seeing him after that. I do recall Kerr seeing me and telling me that he was helping him and that he was going to see him all the way through it. And that that's one thing that he felt the good Lord had done for him, to help him take care of his friends, and that for not to be concerned that he was going to see his whole motel deal taken care of. And he was going to have him down to Oklahoma and work it out with his people. And that's about all that I ever heard or knew about it. I never let him have a dime and didn't have it to let him have. But always thought that Kerr did and knew he would, because he was that type of fella. And he had on many occasions told me that he was helping people up there, and I could... And specifically, a lot of the individuals themselves, and they weren't just one party. And if he liked you, he went all out for you, all the way. And he had He had done that over a period of many, many years, even long before I even knew it, when Mr. Everett knew him. That's where I first met him, before he ever even came here. But I thought it's rather improper for him to say that, but I guess if he wanted to outline the truth. Matter of fact, they asked me to make a statement, so he did. Talked to one of our friends that he thought that I was the only one knew it and I ought to say it. We told him we couldn't do that. But that is the fact, and you know what I think about it all along. I think he's the victim of the most collusive conspiracy that I've known be conducted by a man's government. I've always thought that.
Well, I feel awfully bad about it. Sometimes, what Jefferson said tonight, you're a small evil, a bigger one.
Yep. I think good Lord will put the hex on folks that do that, and you just watch and see now. Some of them don't answer. Just mark them. I said that about old Dan Moody one time. I don't think that kid or Walter Jenkins did anything that a million people didn't do or that was improper. But I think the way they put them in the light, the way they came under their axe, the way we sat around here and allowed them to do it, good Lord will never forgive us for it. And I just feel ashamed. I just wish I could walk out on them. I'm so embarrassed about my government, I don't know what to do. But until it's uncovered, it's going to be uncovered, and good Lord will uncover it. This thing's not, we had a little of it in the paper the other morning, you know, but there's too much of this going on, and you can just see it. I can name you a dozen of them, the same thing, wherever they crossed. Why, this is the price you pay.
Well, hopefully.
Not at all. Not at all that I ever knew. And I didn't know this till a week ago. He just called up and said he thought I ought to testify to this. Said it happened, and it did happen. And the only thing that I see, and I'm trying to check that, and I'm not good at remembering, the only flaw that I see, and I've watched it, and I've gone over it with the trusted counsel, and I do not remember picking up the phone, but all of my phone calls are diaries, and it should reflect it if I did call him. I don't think it did. I do remember him telling me he had helped him and would help him and would see him through, period. And I think he'd have done it if it had been 2 million. What I think happened is I think he sent him out there. And I think what this fellow did is say, listen, you sons of bitches, doing awful well, and we've been your friends, now you be our friend. And he sent him out there to pick up this thing, and I think he told Mr. X, Y, and Z that I'm going to help you, because nearly everybody went to him for help. And then I think he had a heart attack, and he committed it, just like a good many of them commit in every election. I'm sure that there's 20 senators this last time that were told that you'll get 30, 40, 50,000, and go on and spend it, and I'll get it for you. And I think that's exactly what this fellow did. And I think that he committed himself to help the senators with this money because he was doing that, and that's where he was getting a lot of his power, because damn near every one of them were obligated to him. I just saw old Jennings Randolph last night, I remember, and he made this the difference on one boat up there. And I thought of this, because not anything improper at all, because it wasn't, but he really helped him and helped him materially, just exactly like Franklin Roosevelt helped in West Virginia, too. And Junior, you remember. But those things happened, and then my judgment is the fellow got sick, never thought he was going to die. And he didn't make good on it, or if he did make good, he did it another way. But I never thought this boy stole anything from him. And Nick told Abe, said, "Hell, you never make me believe it." Then he went ahead anyway, after he said he didn't believe it himself. And I, in the first place, I don't think you'd have to steal from this Kerr. He wasn't a fellow that you had to do it for. He'd done anything he could do, short of given up his wife and his church to help this boy. He would just done it just without any question. Just like your daddy would do anything in the world he could for me. Just anything except give up his wife or something. The second thing, he wasn't smart enough to steal the car. You're not either.
I think that's right on both scores. He didn't have to, and he wouldn't have dared.
They wouldn't have dared, and he
couldn't have gotten away.
He couldn't have at all. That car paid no more attention to parties than anything. Boots Adams, Phillips down there is the biggest friend he's gotten, the biggest Republican, and spends money for the Republicans every year, right when Kerr was with the Democrat. And he did the same, Kerr did the same thing in the Senate here. And he had more influence on that side than he did on his own.
Well, I hope they'll have some evidence to that. I think they'll have a witness or two, but have any real information on it. Dean McGee and Bob Curry Jr. will testify probably for the government there. I don't imagine they know much about it. Prejudiced one of you in their interest to protect what they consider the good family name, interest in their eyebrows. You can tell the truth as best they could.
I think that is true. I don't think they had more conception of it than you did, but I know the fella here told me that said every time you ask him to help you, he'll take something out of the pot. It'll be a dam or something else. But said the one thing about it, he always puts in more than he takes out. And I think that was the fella. I don't imagine those kids know more about it. The thing strange to me is that they found this amount in the box. Is there any, what's your judgment on that?
But I don't have any. I just don't know.
Wasn't that a surprise?
Yeah. That's my understanding. They had never mentioned that back when we were going over this stuff carefully last spring, whenever it was. I went over it like Saturday afternoon.
Well, do you have the opinion that some of my people do that that's a pretty interesting point?
I think it's a very interesting point. I think there are a number of interesting points. The real problem, in my mind, is the way the press and all have treated the thing, why Bobby Baker is kind of synonymous with corruption. So you show a few vague transactions and deals, a bunch of money, and it all gets complicated, mixed up, and you just say, well, you must be guilty. But I think that's
pretty hard for him to steal money that's in the man's box and the envelope and in the amount, isn't it?
That's at least a great coincidence.
Okay, partner.